I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
I forgot about this. I hope those words will be encouraging to Timothy. Your pastor invited me just exactly at the last day before I am about to be executed. And you say, who are you? I'm Paul. Paul the Apostle. Also known as Saul of Tarsus. And he told me that you guys are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, do you have anything to say about the resurrection of Jesus, Paul? And I know that I was not a witness of the resurrection at the time when he rose from the dead on the third day, but I did see him alive. But before you can understand the impact that that had on my life, I want you to realize that I grew up as a very strict religious Jew. I was part of one of the most strict sects in my religion, Pharisee. And as a young and very, I was dreaming of big things. I wanted to make sure that our religion, our way of interpreting the scriptures would be respected. We didn't want to go back to the ways things were before. We wanted to have now our point of view be respected. Everything changed when that false teacher came along. His name was Jesus. And that really came and brought a disturbance into our religious community. How could someone dare to proclaim that he was the Messiah? He dared to say that he was the King of Israel, that he was the Son of David. Well, we made sure that that stopped. And that's why, with the power that we had already acquired, not only in the religious circles, but also the influence in the political realm, we made sure that that liar was hanged to a cross and that he died. Now, I was completely sure that this would stop the spread of that message that was bringing so much confusion. But many of them started saying that their leader had resurrected from the dead. Now that is a big, serious problem. That only made things worse. And I knew they were lying. So I decided that I was going to stop them. We had already killed Jesus, and now they're claiming that he's alive, and I decided that I was going to make myself a name by killing those followers of that Messiah. And that's exactly what I was doing. I still remember clearly when we trapped Stephen and we brought him before the council. And right there, after he said so many things and claiming that this Jesus was alive and that this Jesus was going to judge us and that we had sinned, that we had crucified him. He dared to say that he was the Son of God. So we decided, you know, this blasphemy cannot continue. Jesus is not the Son of God. And we are going to make sure that this blasphemy stops right now. So we took stones and stoned them to death. I was there guarding the clothes. But these words that I heard from him really pierced my heart when he said, "Father, don't take into account this sin." How could that be? How could that be that we are just full of hate? We are killing him, and he is asking for our forgiveness. Now that brought so many different feelings into my mind that I decided that not only was I going to close my ears to that, but I was going to make sure that many more of these followers of Jesus would be killed. And that's exactly what I did. I went and got letters from all the leaders, not only to pursue the Christians that were there in Jerusalem, but also to be able to go to other cities and catch them. Yes, I was going to destroy that false religion. And that's exactly what I was doing. I took many of them, threw them into prison, and I forced them to blaspheme. Yes, I was making myself a name. And I knew that I was going to be able to stop this. I was on my way to Damascus. And who would have thought that right in the middle of the day, this bright light appeared. And I fell to the ground. And I heard this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Could you believe it? The amazement, I was so scared. And immediately I asked, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." Oh, I could not believe it. Right there before me was the one that I wanted to destroy, the one that I wanted to make sure that his name was not known. And now he is speaking to me. He appeared to me right there. And he told me what would happen with my life. He told me that I was going to be used by him to preach his name, to take it to the Gentiles, and to take it before governors and before kings. This was amazing. And I was willing now to follow this Christ, this Jesus that I persecuted before, because I knew he was real. What I did not understand is, why did he have to choose me? Why me? If I was just trying to destroy him and his followers. When I got up, I could not see. I was blinded by the light. And they took me by the hand and took me into the city. And there in Damascus, I waited for 3 days. I did not eat. I did not drink anything for 3 days. And I just prayed and asked God, "Lord, what is going on? What is happening?" Until one day, Ananias came in. And he said, "Brother Saul, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus, has sent me to pray for you that you would recover your sight and that you would take his name to the Gentiles and before kings." Wow. He did that. He prayed for me, and scales came off of my eyes. And right there and then, not only the scales of my physical eyes, but also my spiritual eyes were open, and I was a new creature. I decided that I did not want to live one more day without preaching and telling people about this Jesus that lives, that is alive, and that is coming again. And through the years, that has been my message. I suffered persecution from the Jews. I suffered persecution from the Gentiles. I suffered persecution in many cities that I went, because I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ, and that He is alive, that He appeared to me, and that He will come again, that He will judge every single person one day. But that you can be saved if you put your faith and trust, if you repent of your sin, if you live for Him, if you are born again from above, you will be saved. And that's the message that I've been preaching. I haven't preached anything else. As a Pharisee that grew under the teaching of Gamaliel and learning so much about the law, I could literally speak for hours and hours about the law. But I decided in myself that I was only going to preach one thing: Jesus and Him crucified. Jesus and Him resurrected from the dead. Jesus and Him coming again. That's the message that I've been preaching. And for preaching that message before the council of the Jews that wanted to kill me in Jerusalem, I had to appeal to Caesar. I was taken from there to a different city. And then from there, before kings, before Agrippa, before Festus. And now they're saying, after so many years, they're saying that I'm going to go before Nero. It's all right. Nero wants me to say that he is Lord in order to save my life. What he doesn't know is that I've already made up my mind. As I was writing right now, telling you, Timothy, the Lord has already revealed to me that I am going to depart soon. But I am not afraid, because this Jesus that I've been preaching for so many years has changed my life, and He has changed the life of so many. It doesn't matter what culture, it doesn't matter what status they have, still Jesus is the answer for them. And this Jesus is alive. And what a privilege. I might not have the privilege that you guys have, but wait, let me share with you one of my scrolls, the letter that I sent to Corinth. I'm so glad that these brothers started copying the manuscripts and writing the copy of that letter. They actually brought me one. Let me find it. Here it is. And I wrote this letter because I heard that some had come trying to disturb the peace of the brothers, and they were telling them that the resurrection did not exist, that it wasn't true. But everything stands or falls on the resurrection. And that's why I wrote to them. And I want to share it with you guys, so you guys can also learn the truth about the resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the great part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep. Now you have to remember this, 500. Right when I wrote that letter, it had only been 20 to 25 years that Jesus had risen from the dead. And many of them had seen him alive. Many of them had touched him. After that, he was seen by James, by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles, who I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether if it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all reign, till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another flesh and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from the other star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can you believe this? Jesus revealed this to me through the Holy Spirit, that we believe in the resurrection, and that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, all of us that have put our faith and trust in him, we will also be raised from the dead. And that is my hope. That is my hope. That I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. But what about you? You and your generation. I've done my part. What about you? If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you must live your life with that reality, and you must strive to make it known to others. Let them know that he is alive, that he's coming back, that he can change lives just as he changed my life. He took me from being someone who hated him, who persecuted him, and now I have given my life to preach Jesus Christ. What about you? Are you going to do it?
Paul.
Huh? Okay. Well, I leave you with this message. Preach Christ. Preach his resurrection. My time has come.